This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Thanks for being with us. I came into the studio today. We do our show out of Skyview Networks, great people. And I'm actually part of Skyview. I do a morning sports cast. Been doing it for almost 20 years. That airs on 12 stations around the state. And so when I come in here and I see five, six people that all want to talk about what do you think of Herm Edwards, and I've got things on the show sheet that I want to get into outside of Herm Edwards, because there is a lot going on. It's the beauty of our great state. I guess I should just do all Herm Edwards. Justin, you want me to do Herm Edwards the whole hour today? We have Jimmy. I could get rid of Jimmy. Jimmy'd be fine. Jimmy Vaccaro, he's my buddy. I have Goody at the movies. You want me just to do an hour on Herm?
That'd be cool. Yeah, it'd be cool.
Where are you at on this?
I think it's a strange hire, but it makes sense because he worked with Ray Anderson and Ken Lanphier Ken Lanphier and a senior associate AD, and Ray Anderson, obviously, the guy who hired him. So strange hire, but when news broke, it seemed like this was more than just a typical smokescreen.
All right. So you're a student at ASU. You are one of the most plugged in people when it comes to student at ASU, but beyond that, you have been an established media member now over at ASU for all 4 years, right?
Yes, sir.
I like that. You called me sir today. You write for, as well as us, you write for?
DevilsDigest.com.
Okay. And so your Devils Digest followers, what has been their reaction towards your writing on this?
Well, it's been a firestorm because I was of the opinion that Ray Anderson was correct when he called Todd Graham average. So I was kind of conflicted on that. But their opinion on Herm Edwards and what we have written on him is that it's not a great hire.
Not what we have written. What have you written? Nice people over Devil's Digest. I only care about your view.
Okay. Well, what I've written is I wrote something for us here. About
which would be sports360az.com.
Yes, about how it was a strange hire because Ray Anderson had initially said that, he shot down the notion of wanting his guy.
Right.
Strange. And also strange because I felt like these days athletic directors want the next young diamond in the rough. And I felt like ASU had that in Billy Napier. And some people didn't agree because he's only been offensive coordinator for a year, but he's seemingly impressed a lot of people. And that's a guy who will have, in my opinion, a lot of job offers going forward where you probably can't keep him past a couple years.
Okay, so that's where I want to start this premise. I appreciate you jumping in. Let's get into this. So Billy Napier, those of us that have been here longer than a nanosecond can go back to a point in time where a very smart owner of a professional sports franchise here in Phoenix had somebody come in who was older, who was there to mentor. His name was Cotton Fitzsimmons. The young man that he was mentoring was a guy named Danny Ainge, who just left his playing career. The basketball team was the Phoenix Suns. They were awful. They were so bad, I camped out front of their games after seven straight losses because I knew that they were horrible. And the easiest thing to do in this business, behind a microphone, the easiest thing to do is say, everything's horrible. It's easy. It's really easy to do that. It's the worst thing ever. So Jerry hired Danny, and the plan was for Cotton to run the Suns for a year, maybe two, but that Danny was going to take over. Jerry laid that out. Problem is, the players start going around Cotton to Danny, and the team was still horrible, and the players want to know what their role was going to be if Danny was going to be their coach. So it didn't work out. And Danny became coach, and Cotton stepped aside. Danny eventually figured out he didn't like coaching, and he's done really well in the front office. That's my point of reference to Billy Napier, to what we have here with Herm Edwards. And let's just start there. First of all, Herm Edwards has not been hired yet, but it's likely that he's going to be the new head coach. Chris Cartman is not wrong very often on something like this, if ever. I don't recall a time over at Sun Devil Source I respect Chris's work. I respect Doug Howler's work. I think Hode Rubino works hard at it too. So these are guys that are dug in. So yesterday when I'm teaching my class at Cronkite, and somebody got a notification and they said, yes, it's done. Well, it's not done. Tennessee, three times has said it's done. Point of reference, guys, June Jones was going to be the coach for about an hour and a half, and that was done. I think we all know how that ended up. So in the world of coaching, it just takes one guy to say, maybe not. So let's just, I know this sounds old school, but just to see what's gone on at Tennessee and the point that ASU was dysfunctional in their last hiring process, until the thing is signed, until it's done. So I can see a scenario. Can you? Because most all of you hate this move. I'm not speaking for, I'm just looking at it. I'm looking at the polls that have been out. I'm looking at my social feeds. I'm looking at the emails. Look at the people that I run into. And there's this, well, this is Ray's buddy. Ray's doing his buddy a favor. And that's why I hate this move. Really? That's why you hate this move? Well, Ray hasn't recruited. What does Ray know about recruiting? Really? So some of this stuff I hear, it's, I don't know. I guess the assistant coaches just don't matter to you when you say he doesn't know how to recruit. Herm hasn't been in rooms. Herm hasn't been out on the recruiting. What's Herm Edwards know about recruiting? If that's your point, if that's all you got to give me more than that. What does Herm know about high school football? We've all talked about here in the last 24, 48 hours. If you go through Herm Edwards' resume and you see what he does, every year he coaches high school All-American games. It's not just showing up. It's being very involved and very active. I don't know. When Herm Edwards is on the set at ESPN, what's he talking about? Football? When he's in production meetings, which you don't see and I don't see. I'm guessing he is studying football. I'm guessing that he's been eating, living, drinking, breathing football because he's really good on the air. There are some guys that don't do any homework at all, and they roll in, and they do their thing, and they get their check. Herm Edwards hasn't been one of those guys from my view. Well, but, you know, what happens if it's Chip Kelly that is sitting there, and he's recruiting a kid, and he's got the experience factor, and it's David Shaw, and it's Willie Taggart, which, by the way, is he going to be there if Jimbo Fisher leaves? Well, what's going to happen then? Probably going to be the position coach is the first point of reference. Actually, it would start with the recruiting coordinator. And then it would go to position coach. And then Gene Boyd's going to get involved, who I've already said is the most valuable player. You don't know who Gene Boyd is, but let's just say, for argument's sake, the kid wants to go to the business school or wants to go to business school. I don't know. Is Arizona State a pretty good business school with a pretty good rep? The answer is yes. Let's say they want to go to J school. They want to go in journalism. Does Cronkite School have a great name? The answer is yes. If you look at the school, if you're wanting to go into certain fields, Arizona State has a lot of advantages. I'm not sitting here working for them on the recruiting trail. Yeah, I've been an adjunct. I'm finishing up my second semester there. I'm looking at this big, broad view. If you're a medical student, does Rich Rodriguez have an advantage saying we have the best medical school to go to? He does. And he'll get some kids. But if all you're doing is saying, well, what's he going to do about recruiting? And that's the lifeblood. Or how dare Ray Anderson say something so silly as we're going to be a top 15 program? I don't know. I've sat here behind this microphone for years and years saying I'm so tired of the losing mentality at Arizona State within their front office. I'm so tired of being around people who say, well, you just don't know how hard it is. This is a pro sports town. I'm so tired of being around people saying, let's go to the Vegas Bowl and we'll call it a day. Finally, you have an athletic director that steps up to the urinal and unzips it and says, I got this. I'm bigger than anybody else here. I know that's pretty graphic, but that's basically Ray Anderson saying, I got this. I feel so strongly about where I'm going. I am the biggest, baddest sheriff in town. And if it doesn't work out, guess what? He's going to get fired. It's going to happen. This could set the program back. I get this today. Well, what if? What if they go? If you play by what ifs, you're never going to take a chance in life. What if it doesn't work out? What if it does? You know, the 20 plus years of this program being nothing more than a 6-win and 7-win team has impacted a lot of people. And now they're being forced to think differently. This could be a brilliant move by Ray Anderson. I actually think it's a pretty forward-thinking, smart move. Kevin Sumlin were here, that's safe, right? If we're talking about top 15 programs in the country, well, you should never put top 15. He didn't say top 5. Should Arizona State be in the middle of the top 25 every year? In my view, yes. Why not? What is holding you back? The loser's limps of the last 20 years have come out real strong here in the last 3-4 days. 95% of you hate this move. I'm on the side of, that's pretty forward thinking. Let's give this a shot. There's 16 starters returning next year. To me, it's pretty evident. Herm comes in. Billy Napier is the guy that's being groomed. If Billy leaves, you find the next OC. If I'm Billy Napier, I probably go down the hall right about now and ask for a raise. If I'm Phil Bennett, where am I at in all this? Maybe I aspire to be a head coach. Maybe I don't aspire to be a head coach. Go through each one of these assistant coaches. And where are they at in all this? Is Napier being groomed to be the guy to replace Herm down the road? Does Herm step away into some role within the athletic administration in a couple of years? I don't know that. Nobody knows that. Is that a far-fetched theory? I don't think so. 63 years of age, do this for 2-3 years, hand the reins off. Much different way than bringing in Kevin Sumlin. Much different way than bringing in a guy who's recycled over and over and over. Jimmy Vaccaro is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Follow Jimmy Vaccaro on Twitter as I do, at Jimmy Vaccaro. It is always good to have Jimmy Vaccaro, 4 decades bookmaker from the South Point. Great place to stay as well. Jimmy is quoted in a story today by the New York Times that is a must read about college football passing the NFL in terms of betting. And I want to talk to you about that article, Jimmy. And did it come out as you thought?
Yes, you know, as you would know, sometimes when you do these articles, it doesn't come out the way you exactly said it, but Joe was right on the money there, as he spoke to some other bookmakers here in Las Vegas, that the time has been coming for quite a while, where it used to be, as the story indicates, you know, it's 3-4-1 favorite with the amount of tickets you wrote on the NFL as opposed to college. Now college is so damn entertaining. There's so many games on. The ESPNs of the world came alive, and we broadcast around 30 college games on Saturday. So, yes, it has caught up as far as I can handle with the NFL. And, Brad, as you can see, what do you think from tomorrow and Saturday with those 4-5 big games total? It'll be, in a sense, chaos again, which is great.
Well, and you have the Cowboys-Redskins tonight, too. I mean, you got a huge game tonight. So let's just start there about this weekend. Cowboys-Redskins, what's the view in Vegas, Jimmy?
The view in Vegas was, it's not our view. We had the Cowboys open as a 1-point favorite, but it's fairly obvious that the young man doesn't function as well without the other kid in the backfield. Now we have the Redskins, 1.5-point favorite. I can still see that going up there. Naturally, every game now is so huge, but right now all the money is on the road team.
Take us through the 4 games on the college end this weekend. Start with the Pac-12 title game, USC-Stanford.
Well, open 2.5. We're up to 3.5. A lot of money on USC, and, you know, for a couple of reasons. First of all, the smart guys thought that number was a little cheap. And, yes, the spirit of, like, the betting from California will be, we'll get a lot of USC money. So the game is up to 3.5. Probably we'll go to 4 by game time.
How about the other ones this weekend on championship weekend, Jimmy?
Well, the biggest move so far is a Clemson game over Miami, Florida. Obviously, Miami stubbed their toe last week, and so it shows in the point spread movement. We opened Clemson as a 7-point favorite. We're up to 9.5. Would not be surprised if the game closes 10. Clemson is a fan favorite. Make no mistake about that. The Ohio State game, a lot of early money in Wisconsin from 6.5 down to 6, but we've had a lot of buyback at the Ohio State -6. We're back to 6.5 there. So, you know, as I tell you, my friend, everything is moving. Oklahoma, 2-way conversation there also. Went up to 7, back to 6.5. Now we're back up to 7. So, and which one did I miss, my friend? I'm actually in my car. Right.
Yeah, no, those are the ones. The SEC title game as well. Those are the ones, though.
Oh, yeah.
And before, yeah, go ahead, Jimmy.
No, just I'm waiting for you, my friend. Go ahead.
The NFL side. So let's go Rams and Cardinals this weekend. And the Rams come over here. The Cardinals were awful the last time these two teams met over in London. What's the view on this one?
Well, it's the same view here as it was a few weeks ago. The Rams and the Eagles are drawing so much attention lately; it's incredible. And the Rams will be a big decision for us. So we'll need you guys to step up and fight a little bit. But as I said, Rams Eagles have displaced, as for the moment, as America's team. Forget about Dallas for a while, my friend.
So let you go off that, Jimmy. Thanks as always.
All right, buddy.
Take care. This is Jimmy Vaccaro there from Vegas, South Point Resort Casino. Always good to catch up with Jimmy. The other part on Herm Edwards is when Ray has this press conference, assuming it all goes as planned. I keep saying assuming. It's not that I'm doubting what's out there. It's just it is college football. And there are those moments where things get cross-eyed and things don't come out as exactly as thought when it comes down to paper and getting it signed. And go back, as always, to what's going on at Tennessee right now. When Herm Edwards gets done and people get done obliterating the program, because that's going to happen, so what? It's December. When December 20th comes around and it's the early signing period, what does his class look like? And if you're only going to base it off of stars, as many of you do, well, we only got 4 or 5-star players, then I'll sit here as I usually do and say, so what? Here's a bunch of 5-star players that never amounted to anything at all these programs across the country because it's easy to find them. You don't want to get stuck with a guy for 5 years or 4 years that can't play dead. That's happened here at Arizona State, and the guy had a bunch of stars next to his name. You don't want that. So the recruiting stuff will come down. Will parts of the staff leave? Let's see exactly what Billy Napier thinks about all this, because to me, it's a key part of this discussion. Herm Edwards isn't going to be the coach for 10 years. From my view, I don't see that. This is a succession hire. Ray would probably deny that, and he should. He'll deny it at the press conference. Is this merely Ray mentoring and getting Billy Napier to go? And the answer will be something along the lines of, well, we hope that our head coach is always in that capacity to get our coaches better, and we like to see them stay here, and blah, 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 blah. Press conferences, like 98% of it, is just a waste of time. And you have to hope that people at Arizona State have a thick skin. You have to hope that. If all they do are thin-skinned people that get into social media and what somebody's saying on social media as what the view is out there, social media is an important metric. I'm not going to discount that. We use that in what we do here. But as I tell our staff, just because 10 people don't like what we do, you don't make that a big deal. If 100 people don't like what we do, I don't care. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. And what do you know? Through the course of time, more and more and more, and now we're over 1 million, now we're over 2 million, now we're over 3 million. So you can't get wound up. It used to just be, we got to win the press conference. Wow, that was really great. Well, now there's going to be people checking and seeing if he's trending on Twitter. Of course he's going to be trending on Twitter. Well, that doesn't mean you won the press conference. And then there's going to be the meeting with the guard, the old guard. There's going to be that meeting with the Cush supporters, because that is an important part in fundraising. And then there's going to be that 35 to 45, 50-year-old group of alums that they need to meet with, the emerging business leaders. Then they're going to ask them for more money. I guarantee-ing you that the number of dollars that ASU is going to be seeking because Hurley needs a new facility, because the hockey arena, because of all the other things that are going on campus, that much like Todd, Herm is going to be put in a lot of places to be asked for money, a lot of speaking engagements. There was a time where ASU wanted to let me know, Todd spoke at 140 events last year. Well, maybe he should have spoke at 70. Or maybe he should have spoke at 20. So I don't, you know, let's not be impressed with how many times he goes out and presses the flesh. There's a very good story that Eric put up on the site today. Talked to about a dozen high school coaches, head coaches in the state, all off the record. Not very glowing reviews about the number of time that they saw the former coach out on campus. They always saw the assistants. But when Mike Norvell left, even that started to dwindle. Okay, got to get back at it. And this has been an issue for years and years from my view. Good Eat the Movies in about 15 minutes. There's some other things I want to get to on the other side. We'll do that. I'm Brad Sussmat. We'll have Good Eat the Movies here in a couple of minutes. Let's go now over to the storyline of top 15 program at Arizona State. That quote seems to have fired up a lot of people in a way of, why would Ray Anderson say that? There's no way that that should happen. And I have a real problem with people who don't believe that. Okay, let's just look at this week. Who is in the top 15? TCU is number 10. USC is number 11. UCF is number 12, Central Florida. Number 13 is Washington. Number 14 is Stanford. Number 15 is Notre Dame. Stanford and Notre Dame are sitting there with three losses apiece. Number 16 is Memphis. Number 17 is LSU. 18 is Oklahoma State. 19 is Michigan State. 20 is Northwestern. Come on, guys. Really? You don't think that ASU every year should be going 9-3? You're content being 6-5 and 7-3 and going to destinations like El Paso to play football in New Year's time. Come on. You're better than that. So Ray Anderson uses that as, we should be a top 15 program every year, and people are laughing at that? I mean, think about it. Are you the same ones that said, well, they're only going to win three games this year, and they found a way to beat Washington? Yeah, the kicker was horrible for the Huskies, so it wasn't a great win. Oregon wasn't that great, but it was a win. When people say, boy, great wins, I guess if you're a program that just aspires to be 6-5 and 7, and I want leadership that is going to put it down rather than the defeatist attitude that's been over there for 20 years. I think Ray's finally saying what he's been feeling and seeing. I had some people that texted me during the press conference saying he must be listening to you every day because this is what you've been writing. Yeah. Yeah, it is a bunch of Eeyores. Oh, it's just, you don't understand how hard it is. So for them to go 9-3 every year, I mean, look at their schedule next year. Their schedule next year, they open with UTSA, University of Texas San Antonio. If Herm Edwards signs a dotted line, if it's all signed off on, Saturday, September 1st, they'll play UTSA. They'll still probably be 48,000 to 50,000 people there, maybe a bit more. Maybe a bit more. Maybe Herm gets some attention. The following week, they play Michigan State. That game's at Sun Devil Stadium. That game is going to be nationally televised. They're going to blow Herm Edwards up that week like we have not seen an ASU coach blown up nationally in terms of media attention in a long, long, long time. You don't think the people at ESPN are going to latch onto that and say, show Herm on the set and have him do the play to win the game and all the little videos you guys have been putting up? Of course they are. Then you go to San Diego State. All right. You go to Washington the fourth week of the season. That's a great matchup, a terrific matchup. You have Oregon State here. That's a win. You have at Colorado. That's a win. They should be sitting there at worst 4-2, right? UTSA, San Diego State, Oregon State, Colorado. You beat Michigan State, you beat Washington, you're sitting there at 6-0, you're probably ranked somewhere in the top 10, probably. You have 16 starters returning. But you're afraid to have Herm Edwards here because you just haven't seen him coach in a long, long time. He's just a guy that's on television. When's the last time he was on a college sideline? Well, how about all the people that are around him? We've seen where head coaches are nothing more than CEOs. They deal with guys like me. They deal with people like the Cartmans and the Howlers and the Rubinos, the web guys, the beat guys. They really are just the face and voice, and they don't do as much coaching as they once did, or at least a lot of the coaches don't do as much coaching as they did one time. I think that's why Todd got fired. Now, the second half of the schedule is brutal. Stanford, USC, Utah, three games in a row that I don't think they'd be favored in any of those three. At Oregon after that, and then the U of A game in Tucson. Do I see nine wins sitting there? Really, that's where Ray is wanting this program to get to, is 8-9 regular season victories. Not getting another win in a Who Cares bowl game in El Paso. I guess I'm not going to get a Tourism of El Paso lifetime pass. I'm guessing that's not happening on this show. So I look at his quote on that and don't get where all the laughing and anger and angst. Essentially, what you're telling me is a couple things. Either you're not from Arizona State, so for, you're on the outside looking in. So, of course, you're going to say, well, they're never going to be a top 15 program. Either that's your side, or you're, again, one of those defeatist Eeyores that's been around forever. And maybe you should just move on if that's the case. I'm not in the Alumni Association. I don't have a degree from Arizona State. But when I, is this supposed to be four, is this supposed to be Mississippi State every year? They're sitting there with four losses ranked in the top 25. No, this is better than that. Goody at the Movies is on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and really, this week it's all about Herm Edwards, whether you hate it or like it, most of you hate it, we have Goody at the Movies. Always good to catch up with Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, and we're going to talk about Matt Lauer for the next hour. How's that? Or however long the segment is going. When you saw the news about Matt Lauer being fired by the Today Show, first of all, that rocks television all over the place. What was your thought, your reaction?
Holy cow, but I didn't say cow. I literally woke up to it. I have those phone alerts and stuff on my phone. I woke up and looked at the phone, and you know, all these different outlets are reporting it. And I mean, it ain't like they're thinking about it, or he's in trouble. It's like he is gone.
Yeah.
There was no fooling around. And it was funny because I was talking to my wife, and she said, "You wonder how many more there will be." Well, before lunch, there were two more. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the day, there was a fourth. So, I mean, it's just, I think that it's, the floodgates are open now.
That role, Bill, morning television is still a cash cow. I've seen where the afternoons and the evenings, you can still make money in local TV doing the news stuff, but it's not nearly as easy to get eyeballs on audience as it is in mornings. So what type of blow is this, and who would make sense from your view to go sit in that chair? I have my own theory, but I want to hear yours.
I'm not sure about who makes sense. I think that it's what's going on right now is, and you're right, morning shows, for all of the easy to make fun of cooking segments and and since they all do these just hideous promotion of their own things, like movies that they're owned by the same studio and all that kind of thing, they still make a ton of money. Mm-hmm. And Matt Lauer, Matt Lauer is making $20 million a year. That gives you an idea that somebody's making some money.
Yep.
And they, it's hard to think of them as you say. I mean, it used to be the nighttime news, like Walter Cronkite, people like that. That was
nope.
The sort of gold standard. People don't watch that anymore.
Nope.
I mean, it's just not, I shouldn't say that. Tens of millions of people still watch it, but not as many people. So this is really important. And what's going on right now is on two of the three networks, in the last 2 weeks, they've fired two of their anchors. Charlie Rose and Matt Lauer. I mean, so right now, there's two openings. Maybe you and I should run in there and apply. I don't know.
Well, here's where I think
we're probably not the type they want.
Here's where I think
that what they should do.
Yeah.
Let women have it. Give it to women. It ain't working for men anymore. I mean, there are plenty of qualified women to do it. I think that I hope they don't give it to Megyn Kelly because I do not believe she has the temperament for morning TV, and she's, she looks like if she has to do a cooking segment, she's going to strangle the chef or something,
And that's where I think they're going to go. Because here's the thing on Megyn Kelly. They paid her a boatload to come over, right? And they put her in that hideous third hour. The fourth hour with Hoda and Kathy Lee is just unwatchable. It's just the biggest train wreck of television. It's two ladies with a bottle of wine pretty much saying, look at how cool we are in this stage of our life, and don't you wish you were us, and without saying it. And it's just dreadful, okay? But what Megyn Kelly's tried to do in that third hour, because I'll sit here and prep for a show, and I'm consuming what's on all channels, is she's trying to do some stuff that's got an edge to it. But you know that behind the scenes, it's, oh, we don't want to offend the 80-year-old lady who watches Al Roker and Smucker's birthdays for the last 40 years. But she's trying. You know, there's always this mentality of, we got to get younger, we got to get younger. You put her with Savannah Guthrie, yeah, I think there'd be cat fights all over the place, which would be entertaining. But
for 5 minutes, I mean, that would get old fast. I think that they... I don't know what Megyn Kelly's suited to, actually, but she, you know, but I don't think it's that. If I were them, I would try to make somebody a star. The problem is, to make somebody a star, you kind of need a big star in the other chair.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, Matt Lauer was the newsreader when he became, you know, the co-host, and he and Katie Couric, you know, were that was probably the end of the good times, you know, for the Today Show. They struggle. They're number two now in overall viewers. They're still number one in the only age demographic that advertisers care about. But it's going to be interesting. I mean, this sounds a little dramatic maybe, but this could actually reshape the way that morning television is done.
Well, I agree. I agree with that. I think ABC saw that a few years back when dreadful Ann Curry was doing her thing. I mean, that was just a train wreck and a half. And GMA said, we're going to go get Robin Roberts. We're going to get Michael Strahan. We're going to put George Stephanopoulos on here for all of his credibility. And they kind of took some chances and made a dent.
They didn't make a dent. They're number one.
No. Okay. You're right. You're right.
And that was stunning because the Today Show had been number one for like 20 years or something.
No, it is a huge deal. All right. In terms of movies, this is kind of the in-between week, isn't it? Before we get to the holiday storm. Is that the best way to put this?
That is. And next week, man, there is some great stuff coming next week. But there's nothing bad this week. There's just nothing big. There's no wide releases. None of the ones that open everywhere all at the same time.
Okay, so let's go through Frank Serpico, only because I just was watching Godfather over the weekend, because that's what they do on AMC for Thanksgiving. And I'm hooked. And it doesn't matter what part, I'm hooked. Frank Serpico.
You have to stop.
It's like if Shawshank comes on, it doesn't matter where it is, I'm watching Shawshank. Frank Serpico, tell me about this.
It's interesting. It is a documentary about Frank Serpico, the cop, the whistleblower cop who the Sidney Lumet movie with one of Al Pacino's greatest performances, Serpico, the 1973 film. It's about him, and it's about him now. But he also goes back through his life and everything. And he was a pretty big celebrity there for a while because, you know, a lot of people thought, oh, this is great. He's blown the whistle. He's showing he's pointing out corruption in the New York City Police Department. The New York City Police Department, not all the people there felt that way. they thought he was a rat and said so. And he was shot in the face, and he was set up. And there's this really interesting part where he sits there with his old partner, and he says, you know, you were there that night, but you never called in a 1013, which is the call for officer in trouble or assistant officer. You just called in, like, crime in progress or whatever. And the distinction there is everybody comes if the cop needs assistance, like everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's the other one, it's just like, well, if you can get there, you get there. And his partner's like, no, that's probably not true. That's probably just a typo or something. There's still stuff going on there. But what I also found interesting was he now looks a lot like and sounds exactly like the aging Al Pacino.
Hmm.
And one of his therapists or somebody says that they think that he really did, he did that thing, but he wasn't that guy. And for the rest of his life, he's tried to be the guy in the movie.
Huh. And it looks good. I mean, it looks really good. It's not wide though, right? Camel view?
I don't think it's, no, I believe it's a Shea.
It's a Shea. All right. No, it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It's just, it's harder for people to find. All right. Divine Order, The Divine Order.
That's actually pretty good. It's a film from Switzerland. It's their Oscar nominee for foreign language film. I did not know this, but until 1971, women could not vote in Switzerland.
Mm.
And you seem to think of them, you know, they do pretty good stuff over there, but women couldn't vote. And it's about this woman in this little village that decides that she's going to fight for the right to vote. And she, it's a Swiss actress, and I don't know, you know, I wouldn't try to pronounce her name, but she's really good, and it's good. It what it does a really good job of is it kind of shows how hard that can be, particularly in a little town like that where everybody's into each other's business. It shows how difficult it can be on a family, you know, and on a person, and just what it's like, you know, your kid's getting beat up because, you know, you're doing this. But it's also kind of funny. So it's interesting, but it's, you know, definitely subtitles, unless you speak Swiss.
When you go to subtitles, do you screen these at home? Do you get screeners at home, or do you actually go to the theater for these on the subtitle ones?
This one I screened at home. It just depends on the availability. If I can, I do.
Yeah.
But sometimes I have to go, you know, to see them.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just I think people need
to... Well, I kind of like it at home because if I miss it, I can rewind it if
sure.
I miss some crucial thing that they say, you know?
Sure. No, I get... Okay, so that's the Divine Order. Let's move on from that over to the last film that you have here, and that's Alda's Secrets. Tell me about Alda's Secrets.
Yeah, that's the best one of the week. It's about this guy that lives in Israel, and he finds out he has this long... He was born in the Bergen-Belsen, the displaced people's camp, right after World War II. And he learns... Everybody, including his nephews who made the movie, knows this, but he doesn't. He has a brother who was immigrated to Canada when he was a baby, and he never knew he had a brother. And so you think it's just going to be this, you know, reunion of two brothers movie, and it is, but that's just like a quarter of the way through. And then they go to meet their mom, who is in a kind of an old folks home, and there are just family secret after family secret comes out, and it's really pretty interesting. And what's most interesting about it is the mom, Ida, from the title, she ain't going to tell anybody anything, or she doesn't want to. And so some of these secrets don't get answered, you know, and don't get solved, and some do. It turns out to be a lot more compelling a movie than you would think just going into it.
Okay, so it's Ida's Secrets. I was wrong on that one. I said Alda. Ida's Secrets. The buzz around the little Star Wars thing that's coming out.
Yeah. The little Star Wars.
Are you?
This is a big one. It's every other year. Next year will be the next little one, and then the year after that will be the next big one. This is a big one. This is a biggie.
Are we thinking that nothing else is going to get by when this comes out? Meaning it's just going to completely crush anything and everything that's out there this holiday season.
It is. Of course it is. And it's going to be bigger than Rogue One because, as I said, I mean, it goes back to the original, you know, Force Awakens. It's part of that series.
Got it.
This is the big one. This is with Mark Hamill. This is with Luke Skywalker. I mean, this is the big one. It will, and it's a shame because there is some really great stuff coming out next week in particular, and I hope that people will see that and that it won't. Now, I haven't seen Star Wars, so it may be great too. I'm not saying that, but I hope it doesn't just crush everything to the point where nobody sees anything else.
All right, before you get out of here, are you big on Herm Edwards, or are you like 95% of the people think it's a joke and hate it?
I don't know if he's a joke, but he hadn't won anywhere. I mean, I don't see what the attraction. Oh, well, of course I see what the attraction is. His former agent is the athletic track. And, you know, it's the classic, you know, it ain't what you know, too, you know. I mean, and he knows the boss, so that never hurts.
All right. We'll see how this plays out. We'll see if this turns into Tennessee or if this turns into ASU getting it done. So stay well.
We can burn a couch.
We can write something on a rock, you know. See you later. See ya. Right. It was good to eat the movies. I was good to catch up with Bill. It's been a really eventful week. And look, if the Cardinals beat the Rams, back on that for a minute, if the Cardinals beat the Rams on Sunday, all of a sudden the team that had dirt thrown all over them, that's the thing about the NFL is it doesn't matter really if you're sitting at the mid-season mark at 500 or hovering around or a couple of games below. You just have to get hot at the right time. And if what happened last week, or was it just merely Jacksonville coming out to the West Coast and their coach crapped the bed at the end of the game and didn't game manage well, and the Cardinals still aren't very good, and Adrian Peterson has a neck injury, and we don't know if Adrian Peterson's going to play or not, or if Blaine Gabbert's going to throw some picks, or, you know, all the numbers of things. But if they beat the Rams, a team that crushed them earlier this year, It would be their best win of the season. It would be their most unexpected win of the season. And all of a sudden, December becomes, I don't know, somewhat interesting because Tennessee, Washington, Giants, there's a lot of bad teams or teams that are just kind of fringe. Like, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing Dallas and Washington tonight. Part of it is, I know you Cowboy fans. Man, if Dak doesn't play well tonight, the number of Cowboy bandwagon jumping fans here in Arizona, there's a lot of you. You're only there when they win. When they lose, the Cowboys. It'll be hard for me to get around on the freeways. There'll be so many broken ankles jumping off the bandwagon if Dak throws a couple of picks tonight, right? It's fact. And then we'll just see about the Herm Edwards thing. It seems to be fait accompli, but let's not run into this. Let's just wait and see. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. He's hanging in there. Justin Toscano gets in the way every Thursday. He just kind of shows up and does his thing. He is uber talented. He just doesn't realize it. Appreciate you being involved with us every day. We are self-funded. We appreciate those of you that continue to sponsor us. Without your sponsorship, we cannot do this. And those of you that have been with us through the years, we really appreciate it. Those of you that have just come on board, it's great to have you as well. And those of you thinking about it, love to have you. Have yourself a great day. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.